Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and tune in. And welcome back here, the final hour of this Tuesday night show. Thanks again to all of the good people that we visit with on occasion on Facebook. Our Facebook fan page is facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, P-H-A-N-S. Our Facebook, our regular friend page, which is I don't even, I'm not even, I don't, I couldn't, I, you know.
What are you trying to say?
I don't mess around with that anymore, man. I do, but it's like, whatever. Facebook is such a bizarre and baffling experience anyway. It really is. It's, but you got to be there. If you have the kind of, if you do the kind of work I do, you have to be on social media. There's more and more companies are using social media. More and more companies are using it as an advertising platform. That's why they call Facebook not so much a social media site now as it is infrastructure. It's a part of what is needed by companies to or entities to promote. But the Facebook fan page is a bizarre and very strange experience. And you've got so many different and varied kinds of people over on Facebook. One of the things that's been interesting for me...
Well, tell everyone about this Bill Gates letter, because this has gotten out of control.
No, it's not out of control at all. It's not out of control.
Yeah, it is. That one guy said, "Why kick your ass?"
That's... Well, like, that's unusual? You got to be kidding me.
Who said they were going to do what?
Some guy said he's going to kick Phil Henry's ass on account of the $5,000.
What $5,000?
Hold on for a minute. About 3 years ago, some guy photoshopped a sign into a picture of Bill Gates. Bill Gates was holding something, and a guy photoshopped instead a sign that said, "Hi, I'm Bill Gates, and if you share this photograph, I'll give you $5,000. I'm Bill Gates, as you know, I'm rich," something like that.
Yes, and that's been going on.
Whoa, hold on. So I discovered this picture, I guess, about a month or so ago, and I thought it was really funny. So I shared it and started the whole thing going all over again. And then I photoshopped something myself where it said, "Hi, I'm Bill Gates. Don't believe the people that are telling you this is fake. It's true. I will give you $5,000 if you simply believe in me." And then I wrote another little post that said, "If you want your $5,000, turn to the north, pray, and..."
Yeah, and then you said bathe and pray.
You said what?
Bathe and then relax. It was all a very religious thing, you know.
What does that mean, bathe?
In other words, you know how some religions have the monks and the priests bathe in the Ganges or something?
And you wanted people to bathe, huh?
General, just listen to me, okay?
Yes. I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't either.
Right. So I made this big religious thing, believe in Bill, you know, pray to the north, all this bullcrap. And that seemed to only amp it up more. And then the other night I posted something about how the, sharing the Bill Gates photo was magic, and that it activated imps that are known as Kangs, and the Kangs...
Will I'm calling him?
The imp is called a Kang. That was Bud's idea.
Yeah, I get the idea that you could have an imp called a Kang...
Well, why is it called the Kang?
Because it's just opposite of Kong. You don't get it, huh?
No, I don't get anything any of you people do. And opposite of Kong, the only thing that's what would be opposite of Kong would be a midget ape, wouldn't it?
In any event, General, we created this ridiculous mythology, and people are still messaging me and asking me, how do I get the $5,000?
Well, see, that to me is very pathetic, because that shows how desperate a lot of people are and how not very intelligent.
Well, I can't look at it any other way. You're right. You're right. A lot of people need money really bad. And a lot of people believe that Bill Gates is, and they're right, is extremely wealthy and can afford to give $5,000 to each person that shares his picture. And on top of that, ask, how do I mail my, how does he get my address and my phone number, all this stuff. So that's why I wanted to make it even weirder, and that's why we started coming up with this, all this mythology stuff. And then, but when people message me and they ask me, "Dear Mr. Henry, is it true?" I say, "No, it's not true."
Oh, so you tell them it's not true.
Yeah.
Well, then why do they keep on asking?
There's more and more and more and more, man. There's people that are saying, "Is it true, Mr. Henry?" "No, it isn't." "Okay, thank you." "Is it true, Mr. Henry?" "No, it isn't." "Thank you." But then there's more people saying, "Is it true?" Then I get people saying they're going to kick my ass. You know.
"They're saying they're going to kick your ass, you don't get a $5,000?
Yeah, this one guy, he was like, "I ought to kick your ass for saying that." And, you know, a lot of people are pissed off that, it isn't so much the people that are really poor and desperate and need the money that they're not the ones that want to kick my ass. They're the ones that are, gee, can we really get the money? The ones that want to kick my ass are the ones that are posing next to their Chrysler or their Mustang or their five-speed Camaro. You know, they don't look like they need the money. They're just pissed that they can't get it. And then they go on to tell me how smart they are and how rich they are and how much richer than me they are and how much smarter than me they are. And they're the guys that wanted to know whether they could share their picture and get the $5,000.
So these knuckleheads think they're smarter than you and they're wondering where the $5,000 is.
Well, yeah. I mean, just as an example. So the whole thing has gotten very weird, and it really doesn't show any signs of abating.
Yeah, but you're still doing it and everything.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Because it's funny. It's funny.
Now, do you think messing with people?
Now, hold on for just a minute. No, well, that is messing with people, Phil. Hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute. You know, people need to understand, and they might as well get it now rather than later, that you have to do your research on everything in this world. You have to find out the truth of things. You don't believe things on face. You must, you know, we live in a world where everybody is all of a sudden very, very keen on making sure that what we're being told is true. But I say, Bill Gates will give you $5,000 if you share his picture, and every jackball in the world suddenly goes stupid on it, and they expect their $5,000. Mention money, and everyone goes dumb, you know? So while it's sad to see people buy into that, they're also adults, and there's nothing keeping them from doing their due diligence, as we like to say, you know, as they say in the legal profession, do your due diligence and look into it and find out whether the stuff is true or not, you know. And don't blame the guy that told you.
Well, you said about Rod Serling when he did the didn't they blame Rod Serling for the D.B. Cooper?
They did, didn't they?
Yeah, well, D.B. Cooper, the guy that jumped out of the airplane, Rod Serling, the great creator of The Twilight Zone, apparently had written a script or had written something similar to that a few years before, and there were a couple of reporters that tracked him down and said, do you feel responsible for this D.B. Cooper thing? And he said no, and he issued his very famous quote, which was, I'm responsible to my audience, but I'm not responsible for them. And that's true. That's true. Okay.
So what's the upshot? Are you going to keep on sticking it in and breaking it off?
I'm not sticking it in and breaking it off. It was just an example of what's going on online, and the amount of people who will tell you, on the one hand, they're so smart. Why would you trust them with $5,000? They'd probably wind up smoking it, man, or they'd wind up wiping themselves with it. What the hell? Why am I going to give $5,000 to a guy that's dumb enough to think that he's going to get $5,000?
Yeah, but if you got the $5,000, he ain't that dumb.
If you got the $5,000, he ain't that dumb.
If you promised a guy $5,000 thinking he's stupid for expecting to get the $5,000, but then you give him the $5,000 and he smokes it and wipes with it, then I've been proven true. Then you've been proven. Then why did you give him the $5,000?
Yes. Why'd you do that?
Why don't you just,
Yeah,
see?
No, I don't see. All right, back in whenever I feel like coming back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be back if we feel like coming back right after these messages. If we don't come back, then it'll be Bud or someone. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show here. Austin DeMarco joining us from Lancaster, California. And as often is the case with Mr. Marco, we'll have some commentary from him having to do with law enforcement and the private citizen and sometimes what one might consider to be the intrusion into the affairs and the civil liberties of the private citizen. And Mr. Marco, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Bill, I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on your program.
All right, this is about drones, and I've been following this story with some interest, some bemusement, but I can assure you that I have found the entire thing engaging, and these drones that one town in Colorado is considering legalizing shooting down, these drones used not only by the government, perhaps used by private companies, they've got some citizens nervous, is that right?
Yeah, and I think there's good reason to be nervous about the drones that these government the United States government might use, drug dealers might use, some of these private companies might use. I know Phil Steele is an Army veteran out in Colorado. I'm proposing to our city council here in Lancaster, California, and some of the outlying areas that I don't want to have something flying over my house that's surveilling me, that is using the technology to keep tabs on my property, my motion, my movement, that may be used by a drug dealer or something like this. When a drone flies into the airspace in a town that makes it illegal, or at least makes it a threat, you know, in a town that recognizes the threat, it can be an act of war. And you may shoot at it. I'll give you an example, the Deer Trail Ordinance in Deer Trail, Colorado. If the drone flies lower than 1,000 feet, you may shoot at it. Now, there was an August meeting of the city council there in Deer Trail. They thought drone hunting ordinance would be a good idea, and they decided to legalize hunting the drones.
All right, now, what I gather from this Deer Trail, Colorado ordinance that you can shoot a drone down, some of it is tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, well, some of it's tongue-in-cheek, but they're dead serious. They don't want these drones coming out of the sky to take photographs, to survey, to case a house, you know, to do anything that might be considered a threat. And not only that, but private companies like Amazon and these other companies, pizza companies will be delivering pizzas.
All right, so let me ask you something. What is the threat of a pizza company delivering pizzas? What's the threat of a private company using it? I understand the drug dealer. I'm not sure I understand law enforcement. Why the threat?
Well, if you've got a drone that's being used to by the government to survey your privacy and to look into your private acts and your private behaviors, that's a threat to your civil liberties.
Well, okay, sure, yeah, it may be if, in point of fact, it is violating your civil liberties, but you know as well as I do that the police have the right, given their job, to look into certain areas of people's lives if they think that there is a crime being committed. So what are we talking about? If there's a law enforcement drone that now has your house under surveillance and you happen to see that, do you shoot at a cop that is surveilling your home? Do you shoot at a cop that's doing that kind of duty?
No, you don't shoot at a cop because he's a human being. But a drone is not a human being. A drone is a machine.
And all right, it's a machine, but it still is doing what that cop is doing. It's staking out your house. You happen to have discovered it, just as many people discover that they're being staked out or watched by police. The violent response, even though it's a machine, you're still destroying a piece of a government property. You're destroying, what you're doing is you're interfering in a police procedure, a police operation. Isn't that against the law?
Well, you know, is it against the law? Yeah, I suppose it is against the law. But you can talk, see, all this clever and fancy talk of yours doesn't negate the fact that you are standing there. Let me ask you this. If your wife is standing in the bedroom and she's taking her clothes off and there's a police drone staring at her, you're not going to take a shot at that?
I would probably, first thing, I'd just get my wife out of the view of the police drone.
Is that your one and only reaction?
If I take a shot at a police drone, if I take a shot at that damn thing, every argument will be made that if it has the capability or if there's a police officer anywhere around there, that someone's got the right to do something to me, like take a shot at me.
So you think they're going to shoot and kill you because you shot at their drone?
I don't know if they'd shoot and kill me. I think that they'd do something to stop me from continuing this assault on their property and on their police operation. Yeah, they may kick down the door. They may come in and arrest me. They may tase me. I don't know what the hell they would do. I would probably just try to get my wife out of... See, the point that I'm making here is I don't think you guys understand...
No, we understand fine, Mr. Henry. I understand totally what a drone is and what it can do. And if I got one that's staring in a bedroom window, if I've got a drone that is used by the United States government, and they may say that they are surveying a drug operation or they have suspicions, But I know full well if there's one looking in a bedroom window, and that is what I draw the line at.
Now, you say that your ordinance is patterned after the Deer Trail, Colorado ordinance, which makes it legal for the people that live in that area to shoot at any drone in their airspace lower than 1,000 feet. The FAA has already issued the statement. I wish I could find it here, but the statement is essentially to the point that I made. The FAA basically says if you damage government property in the midst of a government operation, if you do any of these things, that you are subject to arrest. You also, the thing that they pointed out, and I'd like you to address this, if you shoot down a drone and that thing is falling out of the sky, and I'm assuming you don't have much control over it after you shoot it.
Well, you would want to shoot it down while it's... See, what drones are being flown by drug dealers? What drones is being flown by a burglar? You know.
But if you shoot that thing down and it falls into a populated area, do you have no control over where it's falling?
I don't have any control over where it's... See, again, you've got this clever talk.
I don't know what's clever about it. I'm just asking, if you shoot the thing down and it crashes on a school...
Well, people like to say, you know, when they go against something, they'll say, what if it crashes on a school? Everybody says, what if it crashes on a school? If you say to somebody, I want to have... the government, I want to have government-funded. I want to have government-funded a football stadium, and I say no, I don't want it. And they say, well, what if I don't build that stadium? And now there's going to be gangland down there, and there're going to be people that are, killing people. If I put the stadium there, wouldn't be no crime.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's tortured logic that goes along with all kinds of political positions, but I'm just wondering, I know, and you do too, that if you shoot a drone out of the sky, if you're a private citizen, you have no control over where the thing is going to land.
No, I do. I don't have any control, but this is a lot of clever talk.
What's clever about it, Mr. Marco?
What is clever about wanting to know where a drone's going to land?
It's clever is that Mr. Henry wants me to say that I don't want to be able to shoot a drone out of the sky because it's going to go out of control and crash into a school, or if the drone's looking in a bedroom window, I can't do anything about it but stand there and let it look me up and down or my wife. And I don't think that's the case.
I don't think it's the case either. If there was an actual robot airplane sitting there at your bed, are you talking about something like out of 1984?
I'm just saying, what are the eventualities?
All right, this is General Shaw. Your name is Austin?
Yes, sir.
I'm General Shaw. I'm a retired United States Army. And my question is very simply this, Austin.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Yes, sir. Nice to meet you. If this is a United States Army a drone or a military drone of some kind, and it is on a U.S. Army mission...
Well, first of all, sir,
Hold on. I'm not done yet. And you've taken a shot at this, attempting to disable it. The response... Or the retaliatory response would be devastating to your home, to you, to everything that is within several hundred yards of wherever you were taking the shot from. So you understand, you've seen those television images of insurgents being blown to bits in Iraq, correct?
Now look, General...
Now, have you seen those television images of insurgents being blown to bits, correct?
Yes, sir, I have.
Well, that's what your friends and relatives will see of you. The last picture they see of you will be a black and white negative of you on video, and there was a man there, then an explosion, and then there's a mess on a road.
Well, I think that's very, very vile and crude of you to say that.
No, I'm telling you, I've seen pictures of it.
All right, so what the general is saying is you'd be attacked.
Yes, you're saying that I would be attacked by... My own government.
If you're trying to interfere with a U.S. Military operation.
All right, here's my statement. How likely is it the U.S. Army is going to be using drones within a civilian area, U.S. within the borders of the United States?
Well, I don't know, but I do know the police.
Well, okay, I'm just telling you, General, if you're comfortable with your wife taking her underwear off and then a drone sitting there in the window staring at her, then that's you.
No, I'm not comfortable with that. But I'm not familiar with any technology whereby a drone sits there in a window staring at her.
Well, I'll tell you right now, they've got the technology.
Could you tell me where I might look at that technology?
I don't at this time know.
All right, gentlemen, hang on the line here while we talk about drones, what they're able to do, whether you are able to shoot them out of the sky, whether you should shoot them out of the sky, whether it would be legal to shoot them out of the sky, and what would be the retaliatory response on your home, on you, if you actually attacked a government drone. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, that. What do you mean retaliate? They're going to shoot back at you?
Well, yeah. If you shoot at a cop, what do you think he's going to do?
Well, we're talking about a drone.
I know that, but if you shoot at a cop, what's he going to shoot back? You shoot at a drone, you're shooting at some part of a police operation. Same problem, I think. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. We're going to get Vernon Dozier on to talk about the State of the Union address here, President Obama, just this evening. With a State of the Union address that I think has, you know, a lot of people were happy with it, a lot of people were unhappy with it. What are you going to do, man? I mean, Obama is a guy that polarizes, just like Bush, polarizes everybody. He's a president. I haven't seen a president. I haven't seen two presidents so absolutely, abjectly reviled by the opposition, the way these two, Bush and Obama, together. And it's befuddling. It really is. So Vernon Dozier is going to join us because he is very much an opponent of President Obama's. I wanted to read this. Wondering if your credit card number could be in the hands of a crook? Look for a charge of $9.84. $9.84. The Better Business Bureau issued a fraud alert last week about a raft of consumer complaints, all reporting the same charge. The business levying this fee may purport to provide customer support, or it may simply identify itself as any one of a number of different websites. But it's not for real. Now, how many of you, and I know there's a lot of you, myself included, we have these small charges. It may be a website that provides some sort of a support for your business. It may be some business that looks as if it's associated with your AT&T or your Verizon or some kind of a wireless bill, you know. But it's a $9.84 charge. It's a fraud. The fraud was uncovered by a former Washington Post reporter who writes an investigation blog for Krebs on Security. It apparently relies on consumer carelessness, where an unfamiliar charge for a large amount would be spotted by most consumers. Little charges can go unnoticed. Krebs writes in his blog that he charges, most of which were reported over the holiday season, may have been spotted because consumers are being more vigilant in the wake of the Target breach. If you don't know, Target was the security of Target, the department store. The red card, the breach of the security of the red card caused people's numbers to be compromised by a hacker. And so Target had a hell of a time cleaning this mess up, not only cleaning up the mess, but also restoring some level of consumer confidence.
Yeah, my mom was there and they gave her 10% off.
I heard that. Yes, they were giving 10% off when I was in line. I was getting something. I think it was getting an athletic supporter. I'm sorry.
Well, it's not necessary to say what you were buying.
Well, I'm just simply saying I was at Target.
Okay.
And I was getting a jock strap. The reason why I'm saying that is I was out going to play racquetball with Bill Cummings, who's a friend of Frank's.
That's fine.
All right. Well, then I'm saying I got a jock strap. I went in and I got a jock strap.
Okay, that's the third or fourth time you got the jock strap, but the point is what?
The point is that when I was standing there, the woman was saying, oh, and there's 10% off today at Target, and as soon as I'm done with my job here as a checker, I'm going to go and get my shopping in, too, so I can get me the discount. I remember her vernacular was very illiterate, and she was going on and on, and saying this to all of the people. So by the time I got up there with this athletic supporter and these sweat socks, and she started looking over the jock strap, I felt very compromised. As long as we're talking about being compromised, I felt very uncomfortable, and I didn't even want to say anything to her. And she started in on, did you know you get 10% off on your jock strap? And so that's why I'm bringing this up, because it's germane to the story.
Well, what's the point here, General? So the lady was very verbose.
She was very loquacious, very verbose, and she was...
What's that mean, verbose?
Talkative. Talkative, loquacious, talkative, okay. Yes, and so the woman was saying, well, did you know? And I said, yes, the last five customers you were talking to, I was in line behind, and I heard you mention to each one of them, as you looked their items up and down, just as you're looking at my jockstrap, that there's 10% off. She said, sir, I'm not looking at your jockstrap. I said, well, you're holding the box. You're reading the instructions. She said, yes, I'm reading the instructions on how to put one of these things on because I've never had to. I'm a woman, if you haven't noticed.
Oh, you had this conversation with this woman?
Oh, yes, and it gets better. And I said, no, I hadn't noticed. And that's when she, get this, she pulled the jockstrap out of the box and put it on her head as if it was some kind of a weird slingshot that she attached to her nose. And then I made the high sign to one of the managers. I said, your checker here is nuts. Let's get some cottage cheese.
Wait just a minute, General.
No, I won't be laughed at.
Now sit down. You can't get out of here. Are you telling me the truth here?
Yeah, General told me the story.
I'm telling you the absolute truth. She looked at me like I was the scum of the earth, pulled the jockstrap out of the box and stuck it on her head as if her nose was the sort of the business end of a slingshot. Well, sounds like she was crackers.
Yes, like she was just waiting for some trigger.
Well, trigger what? I said to her, I was very pleasant with her.
Well, it sounded to me like, I'm not saying you caused this. But whatever you said set her off. You said something like, yeah, I've heard you for the last five customers, right?
Yes, I told her the truth. I said, yes, I know this 10% off. And I said, you're looking at my jockstrap. She says, I want to know how it works. I've never used one. She pulled it out of the box, draped it over her head like it was some kind of a weird nose guard after you break your nose. You ever seen those?
Have you ever seen what?
Have you ever seen the nose guards when someone breaks their nose?
Yeah, I've seen them.
That's what it looked like.
She took the jockstrap out of the box and draped it over her head.
Yes. How many times do you want me to say it?
General, that's a pretty weird story, man. People are going to ask some questions about it.
All right, so you asked your questions.
Man, so what did the management came over, huh?
Oh, yeah, this young guy over near the, I don't know what it was, it looked like one of the doors, you know, going to the office, wearing the red vest, but he didn't have the apron on. Usually, you know that they're an underling or one of the lower-level people if they're wearing an apron or some kind of ridiculous-looking shoes, but this, he looked like he might be a manager. So I waved him over, and I said, I think she's all wrong. I said, I think she's gone wrong. And he asked her, Mary, what city are you in? And she said, Pittsburgh, and it's raining. And,
all right, now I know you're full of crap.
Why do you say that?
Because that's a line from Requiem for a Heavyweight.
Yeah, I remember Mr. Henry talk about it.
I don't know if she said that. That's just a line that came to mind.
Well, what did the man ask her?
He said, Dolores, what city are you in? And she said something like, Pittsburgh, and it's raining. I forget what it was.
Well, that poor lady obviously needs help, huh?
I would think so, yes.
Why were we talking? Oh, Target. Target, yeah.
Yes, Target.
How did we get off on this, man? This is the weird... That story is far more interesting than anything I'm reading here about this Better Business Bureau, $9.84.
Well, I thought you'd like it.
I don't know, man.
Well, why are you looking at me as if I'm the one that flipped?
It's just a bizarre story, that's all. Just a whack story. You show up with a jockstrap, and she puts it on her head.
Well, that's like that one story you were talking about, the guy who pulled his pants to...
Never mind.
Come on, you got to tell a story about that.
It was years ago. He didn't pull his pants down. It was just a flasher. It was years ago. I was working for an old station here in town called K-West. And it's on it was at 106. It's where Power 106 is now. It used to be K-West. It used to be a rock station. And I was working for them as a disc jockey. And we used to have free concerts at the John Anson Ford Theater. I don't know if there's anybody listening in the L.A. area that remembers the free shows we used to have at the John Anson Ford Theater.
Is that named after John Ford, the director?
No. It's named after a guy named John Anson Ford.
Yeah, well, I know that. So what Margaret's saying, is that John Ford, the director?
No, it's not John Ford, the director. It's a guy named John Anson Ford.
And it wasn't the director.
No, it was some guy who was on the city council or something.
What? How many guys named John Ford gonna be there?
I told you it ain't John Ford the director. Anyway, we had these free concerts, meaning bands would come into town that were gonna be playing there, and they had an album out, and they were very, very gracious and would contribute, you know, a couple hours of the time and come out and play for free. And it was a lot of fun. And we had some, I remember seeing Ronnie Montrose there. He put a hell of a show on for free in that little tiny theater. Everybody went nuts. And we're letting people in, and there's some jackass in an overcoat, this goofy-looking kid in a long blue overcoat and sneakers, pulling his overcoat open. The guy was stark naked, flashing all these chicks.
Oh, my God. And you told me, didn't someone kick his ass or something?
Well, no, I know. Nobody kicked his ass, but he got dragged out of there pretty fast. But that's nothing compared to your story, General.
I don't know. I mean, this woman, all she did was drape a jockstrap on the face.
Yeah, but this other guy might have draped something else on the face.
Yow. Shut up. All right, well, there you go, folks. That's tonight's Weird Stuff segment. That's tonight's People in Public with Weird Things That They Put on Their Faces or Not. I'm Phil Henry. We'll be right back here on philhenryshow.com. Well, enough about this.
This story about the fake charge, you'll just...
Never mind that. That's boring compared to what we just, heard tonight. Phil Henry Show, final segment of our radio show coming up here. Go online at philhenryshow.com, get a backstage pass, and enjoy our nightly video cast. We are going to start to feature a free video cast, one free video cast a week. And, of course, head on over and buy a year's backstage pass subscription and get one free for your Valentine. Walking on the moon. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com with Dean Wheeler joining us. You know, I didn't see you at all, Dean. We were in San Francisco, and I did not have the opportunity to see you, and I'm very, very disappointed that I didn't. I hope you're well.
We're doing great, Phil, and we did want to come out and see you there at the Eureka Theater, but Emeralda she's been very busy. She's been very busy.
I know you've got her booked into a lot of gigs.
Oh, yeah, we had, as a matter of fact, the night that you were there at the Eureka, we were way north of you in Santa Rosa at a little place called the Imperial, and a little club, a little jazz club. Had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
All right, what did you think of the president's... Actually, you want to talk about Ted Cruz, don't you?
Yeah, I want to talk about Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz is a dangerous, dangerous man. He is talking about the president breaking the law. And because Ted Cruz, I heard this man Vernon Dozier say that President Obama, with his, quote, olive oil voice and Guinea charm, and he was quoting The Godfather, couldn't believe my ears, you know. And if this is what we're dealing with the Tea Party, we've got a lot of really small brains that we have to deal with. Now, Ted Cruz is one of the more miniature brains out there, but he came up with something that's very tough to I think, argue against, and that is, number one, calling Obama a lawbreaker. He said it's an imperial presidency, and the president's a lawbreaker because of the executive orders. It's very difficult to get the average voter to understand that the president's not a lawbreaker, that he's doing the right thing by using executive orders, as Margaret, you said, that Ronald Reagan used.
Yes, Reagan used 213, far, far more, almost 100 more than President Obama. And the argument that it's Ronald Reagan and therefore he gets to do it and Barack Obama doesn't is the argument of a child. It's not an adult argument. So there is that.
Well, I hope so, because this is a tough one. To get the average voter to understand that the president's not breaking the law. And there is this man, Ted Cruz, who is very sinister in his approach. I think you understand he's been described as a psychopath, that is, a man with no conscience. But it's going to take some work overtime to to deal with this.
Well, let me make a suggestion, okay?
By all means.
If Ted Cruz is serious that Obama is a lawbreaker, then all the congressman has to do, and all any of those numbskulls that think Obama's breaking the law have to do, is impeach him. Now, you can certainly impeach a man for breaking the law if he's president of the United States. You've never had a better case in your life. Go for it, right? It's one thing that, well, we're on shaky legal ground, but if Ted Cruz is a brain surgeon and he thinks that Obama's breaking the law, impeach the hell out of the guy and kick his ass out of there.
Well, that's a very good point. I don't know why we didn't think about that.
You're saying impeach Obama, or you're saying Ted Cruz should impeach him?
If Ted Cruz believes that Obama's broken the law, then all he has to do is impeach the president for breaking the law, because that's an impeachable offense.
Right. Well,
that sounds good. I don't know. Why doesn't he do that?
Yeah, why don't he do that?
What's wrong with you guys?
Well, I wasn't expecting that kind of clarity, I guess. I'm sorry.
I was nervous.
Well, don't be nervous. If Ted Cruz, who's never been the brightest bulb on the tree, but because he is the one-eyed man in a room full of blind people, he is indeed the king. If Ted Cruz says that Obama is lawless and is breaking the law, then it's a very easy thing to impeach him, because presidents are not allowed to break the law. You know, I mean, look, this is a Congress, especially a Tea Party coalition, that if it doesn't know how to do anything, it knows how to do one thing, and that's waste time, tie up the business of government with as much meaningless stuff as you can so that you can wreck the government and in the process wreck the country's chances at recovering and moving forward. And that's what the Tea Party agenda has been.
Well, Phil, I'm not asking you to come out here and make these statements, because those are pretty bold.
But every now and again I get sick of this crap.
So you're saying that if Ted Cruz says that Obama's lawless, what should he do?
He said he should what?
Impeach him. What are you guys? Are you nuts or something?
Well, hold on, Phil. Hold on.
No, I'm not. No, not nothing. Impeach him.
Are you yelling at me?
Yes, I'm yelling at you. All you got to do, if the guy's a lawbreaker, look at, she's walking out of here.
I won't be yelled at.
Well, you know what? I guess it hurts, man, when you're discovered to be not all that bright. All you have to do is impeach the guy. Okay, Dean?
Yeah, I mean, thank you. I hadn't thought of that. And so you can impeach him.
You can impeach the guy if he's breaking the law.
Yeah, all right.
So next time Ted Cruz says that Obama's lawless, you do that, man. You impeach him. Man, oh, man.
I just went and got some tissue.
What, are you all crying and everything?
I don't like being yelled at.
Margaret, I'm sorry that I yelled at you, but if you want Ted Cruz to shut his big fat... Nothing's going to shut that guy up. That guy will keep on talking because it's impossible to embarrass Ted Cruz. Like most of these numbskulls, like Rand Paul, you can't embarrass him. Rand Paul thought that Chuck Grassley, or Chuck Hagel, excuse me, was a member of a Friends of Hamas, an organization that never existed. Now that's Rand Paul, because he's stupid. He thought the organization existed. He didn't look into it. He just ran his big fat yap. You can't embarrass a guy like that, because he's just going to say something dumb, and the people that love him are going to love him. It's like Michelle Bachmann when she thought that Obama was spending, $12 million a day traveling through India. The number any kid with basic math would know would probably bankrupt the government within months as far as the petty cash goes for presidents traveling. But she's so dumb, she doesn't understand the math of it, that she went ahead and repeated that on TV. These people are stupid, man. Okay? So they're always going to leave themselves open for something. That's why Palin is, not only is she not running for president this time out, that's why she never had a chance for running for president at all, because she ain't that bright.
Well, you're a big Sarah Palin fan, as I remember.
Not a big Sarah Palin fan. I just didn't understand why people had to lean on her for her sex. I mean, there was a whole thing about Sarah Palin being a woman that people didn't need to go to, man. I didn't think so. They just needed to say her politics were and her politics remain just absolutely mired in imbecility and 19th century notions and turn of the century quasi-progressive ideas that don't work anymore, and a little bit of the combining of church and state. I mean, she's a mess, man. And that's why she never had a shot at being president. vice president or anything else. Now you come along with Ted Cruz or Rand Paul. These guys aren't going to get elected president. They won't get elected to anything. There's going to be a Democrat president in 2016. There will be another Democrat elected president.
You just said a Democrat president. The Republicans like to say that.
Yeah, you got to say Democratic.
Okay, there's going to be a Democratic president in 2016. Not because the Democrats are so fantastic, but the Republicans have so butchered their chances by letting these Tea Party jackasses take over that there will not be a Republican elected president of the United States in 2016, period. And that wasn't the Democrats doing, that's the Republicans. I never seen a political party so carve up its own chances to get anything right. But they did it, man. They did it.
Well, I hope you got that off your chest.
Well, there was a lot to get off my chest tonight, but we will be back here tomorrow night on the Phil Hendry Show at 7. And, you know, there's going to be a lot going on the pre-show tomorrow. We're going to be talking about a lot on the pre-show, just as we talked about a lot on the pre-show tonight. The pre-show is on the website only. It's not on the air, because there are some big decisions to be made. We are in the middle of one of the most groundbreaking and revolutionary periods in the history of media. And one of the things that is happening, ladies and gentlemen, is that radio is going away. Talent isn't going away, and the platform for our show isn't going away. Radio is. We're going to talk about it on the pre-show tomorrow, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.